Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour.
It is May the 9th, 2023, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour on Blog Talk Radio. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. We thank God for you. We have had a wonderful day here in the Carolinas. We hope that you have enjoyed your day as well, that you were able to get out and get a little sunshine on your face. And we thank God for the good weather that we're experiencing here, and we pray that you have enjoyed your day. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person service. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services of First Baptist. Our service starts at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning. You can come and be a part of the service. We also invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. On the Facebook page, you will find more information concerning First Baptist Church. You will find more information about the activities that we have at First Baptist. You'll also find more information that we have for the Sunday morning service. Also, you will find the link for the Bible study that you're listening to right now. That number is area code 845-241-9839, area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can speak to me directly in the studio. Also on the Facebook page, you'll find the link for the web link for the Bible study. All of our Bible studies are archived. You can go back to the Facebook page anytime and find the Bible study that you would like to hear. Click on that link. It will take you directly to that Bible study. Also, you will find more information about the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina and the Wake Baptist Association. So we ask that you go to our Facebook page and scroll around. Stay in touch with us so that we can stay in touch with you. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. Mother's Day. We hope that you are planning to have a wonderful Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you who I will not see on Sunday. We hope that you will have a great day, that you will have a wonderful time with your family and with your friends, and you will celebrate Mother's Day. This is this Sunday. Mother's Day is this Sunday. Also, on the third Sunday, the Sunday after Mother's Day, is the pastor's anniversary. We're going to have a good time at First Baptist. We invite you to come and be a part of that as well. Our special guest is Dr. Von Brayboy and the Orange Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church of Hillsboro, North Carolina. We're going to have a great time in the Lord with them. We ask that you will come and be a part of the celebration of the pastor's anniversary. So those are two announcements that I wanted to make just so that you will know what's going on at First Baptist of Holly Springs. We need to stay prayerful for those who are going through, families who are bereaved, people who are on our sick list, in the hospital and in the rest home, and those who are locked behind prison bars. We must stay in prayer for them because, therefore, by the grace of God, it could be us. And so we have to be prayerful. We have to make sure that we stay prayerful for those who are going through at this time. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for another night of Bible study. We thank you for another opportunity to break the bread of life, to come before you, the people of God, tonight and give clarity to your word. We ask now, God, that as we go into our Bible study, that you will allow your spirit to be with us, that we will get clarity in your word. We ask now, God, that you bless those who are on the line, those who are listening over the internet, and those who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded. We pray, God, that your blessing will be with us and your spirit will be in this lesson tonight. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, tonight our lesson is God's promise to Sarah. God's promise to Sarah. God's promise to Sarah. We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis 17, 15 through 17. Then we'll go to Genesis 18, 9 through 15. Then we'll go to Genesis 21, 1 through 7. Genesis 17, 15 through 17. Genesis 18, 9 through 15. Genesis 21, 1 through 7. In his initial message, God told Abram, who was still called Abram at the time, to leave his home. He promised to make him a great nation, to make his name great, and to make him a blessing to the entire world. Once in Canaan, God spoke to Abram a second time, saying that he would give the land to Abram's descendants. In the third communication, God was more specific about what part of Canaan he would give to Abram and his offspring, who would be like the dust of the earth. In Genesis 15, it encompasses God's fourth communication with Abram. God said Abraham, or Abram's heir, would be from his own flesh, and his descendants would be numerous as the stars of the sky. God reiterated that Canaan would belong to Abraham, though his descendants, who would endure 400 years of slavery before they took possession of the land. God was even more specific about the land Abram's offspring would possess. Today's lesson text begins in the midst of God's fifth communication with Abram. 24 years had passed since God made his first promise to Abram, and God was explicit about the details of his promise. God changed Abram's name to Abraham to reflect that he would be the father of many nations. There would be kings in his lineage. God would always be their God, and Canaan would always be their land forever. As a sign of this covenant, Abraham, and all the males of the house were circumcised, and therefore each male that was born after would be circumcised at 8 days old. Each time God spoke with Abraham in the past, he never mentioned Sarah. We know that she was barren, which would have made God's covenant impossible. Abraham was perplexed by the situation. He said, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, would inherit all of my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." However, God reassured his servant that his heir would be of his flesh. This would have been devastating news for Sarah. So when we go to Genesis, the 17th chapter, and we look at verse 15, we begin to see the conversation that God has with Abraham concerning that. There in the 15th verse, I'll read 15 and 16. "And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, or Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." You see, according to Jewish tradition, Sarah was one of the most beautiful women in the world. But to be barren in a patriarchal society was to be not considered as worthless. However, God elevated Sarah to be the mother of the Jewish people. When we read the ancestry list in Scripture, heirs are mostly assumed to come through the father. The mother is seldom mentioned. But here we see that the promised child came not just through Abraham, but also through Sarah. Both Sarah have the same meaning. Sarai and Sarah have the same meaning, which means princes. But this renaming emphasized the nations and the kings that will come as the descendants of the marriage between Sarah and Abraham. Sarah is the oldest form of the word, and this reminds us, or renaming is meant to emphasize that Abraham and Sarah was God-given. Those two people were put together by God. God gave Sarah to Abraham. And because of the fact that God and Abraham and Sarah were in lockstep together, God did not forget the great and the great man Abraham. And so he promised a nation would come through her as well as through him. Now, when we get to verse 17 of the 17th chapter of Genesis, verse 17 of 17th chapter of Genesis, it says, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? As shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" You know, this term Hebrew, this term laughter in the Hebrew does not mean what we think today. Laughter was a theme throughout the promised birth of Isaac. Was God playing a joke on Abraham? No. It had been 13 years since Ishmael was born. Is a man who is 100 years old able to even conceive or to have a baby? And not only that, was a woman 90 years old, was she able to bear a baby? Was she able to carry a baby to full term? These were good questions. Children, the Hebrew Bible said children were a blessing. And so when they heard that Sarah would bear a child, it almost seemed funny to them that a man 100 years old and a woman 90 years old would have a child. Was the laughter of insincerity coming from them? No. But the laughter was not scornful. It was not insincere. It was just hard to believe. It was just hard to understand how God was going to allow a man 100 and a woman 90 to bear a child. We see in Abraham's situation that God is going to bring about the fulfillment of his promise only when it is obviously impossible for human standpoint. That's when God steps in. This is often the way God works in our lives. It is only when we have come to the end of our own resources, our own knowledge, our own ability, that he demonstrates his ability to do all that he has promised. What God has promised, he can do. Now, let's go to chapter 18. Chapter 18. Look at verse 9. "And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent." Verse 9. "And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him." Now we make a jump in the biblical story. After the visit of the Lord to Abraham in chapter 17, Abraham immediately circumcised Ishmael and all the other males of the household. In chapter 18, it begins with another visit from the Lord shortly after the first. This time, God communicates through three beings that appear as men who are traveling through the region. Abraham graciously entertains these strangers. After Sarah quickly made a meal, according to Abraham's instruction, she kept in the background, which was the custom for women at that time. But in this home, full of rivalry and jealousy between wife and concubine, motherhood and barrenness, Sarah hid behind the curtain to hear in on the conversation that these men were having. However, the men visiting Abraham were no ordinary men. One was probably the Lord himself, an earthly appearance of God before the incarnation or before the birth of Jesus Christ. The other two were definitely angels. We're told in Hebrews 13 and 2 that we should be sure to practice hospitality to strangers, just as Abraham did, because although he did not know it, he was entertaining angels. After Abraham indicated that Sarah was inside the tent, the holy spokesman made a promise that he would return according to the time of life. That means when the time was right, when God deemed it was possible, when God deemed it was that time. This was understood to mean in the spring of the year when life is returning. At this moment, God has appeared to Abraham and Sarah in the form of a man. But when he returns, it was to be behold or to a form of fulfillment to the promise of a son. That's why he says, and lo, behold, I will give you a son. When he returns, he will fulfill the promise. Verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. We are reminded again that Abraham and Sarah are both physically beyond the years of childbearing. In fact, Sarah has ceased to be after the manner of women, meaning that she was probably menopausal. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old? Sarah was feeling dried up with age, and rightly assumed that Abraham was also. The Hebrew word for pleasure is Eden, which comes from the word of the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Pleasure. And here it implies pleasure with her husband. Eventually, it had been years since Abraham and Sarah had enjoyed that type of coming together. And the thought of having a baby was also delightful to her, who had longed for a child for so many years. In verse 13, it says, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a certainty bear a child, which I am old? 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time of appointment of I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah was laughing within herself at the thought of having a baby. Eventually, Abraham had never shared with her the previous message that God spoke to him before. He must have continued to have some doubts. So the Lord asked two rhetorical questions, not expecting any answers. Wherefore or why did Sarah laugh? And is anything too hard for the Lord? Of course, nothing is too hard for the Lord. God can do all things. He can do even much more than what people consider difficult. It means that nothing is too miraculous, nothing is too marvelous, nothing is too wonderful for God to do. So in verse 14, God repeated that he would fulfill the promise he made in verse 10, word for word. Then in verse 15, then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou did laugh. Sarah was caught in her act. She was caught red-handed. God revealed that he knew exactly what she was thinking. And he also knew that her denial was because she was afraid. God understood how she felt, even though he made sure she knew that he would see into her heart. So she said, no, I didn't laugh. But God said, yes, you did. I know you did. I saw it in your heart. But I understand, Sarah, you're afraid. The news that I have brought to you is devastating, inconceivable, but yet it will come to pass. Let's go to chapter 21. In chapter 21, verse 1, it says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Verse 2, for Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to them. Chapter 19 tells the phenomenal narrative of Sodom and Gomorrah. Then chapter 20 recounts another disappointing story regarding Abraham. In chapter 12, Abraham passed Sarah off as his sister to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh took her into his harem. Now Abraham repeated this same awful behavior, passing Sarah as his sister to Amalek, king of Gerar. Perhaps God was protecting Abraham and Sarah from conceiving babies with those foreign kings, though through her barrenness. Not only did God cause infertility in households of these foreign kings, but it appears that the ability of the kings to engage in having children was also interrupted. Finally, when it was God's time, Sarah conceived a son with Abraham. In the first verse of four phrases that emphasize the work of God in fulfilling his promise to Abraham and Sarah, the Lord visited and the Lord did speak of God's action and fulfilled his promises, as he said, and as he had spoken, refers to his promises that were spoken to Abraham and Sarah. Verse 2 gives us the specifics as to how God fulfilled his promise. Sarah became pregnant and gave birth to a son at just the time that God had promised. This time that God chose echoes the words of promise throughout verse chapter 17 and verse 18. This reminds us of the old adage from our ancestors, God may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Verse 4. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Here we see the theme of laughter again in Abraham naming the child as God commanded. The Hebrew pronunciation for the name of Isaac is Yaakon, meaning laughter. In this case, it was not the laughter of scorn, nervousness, or mockery, but the laughter of pure joy. And in another example of obedience, Abraham personally circumcised Isaac on the 8th day of his life, as God had commanded him. In verse 5, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God have given me a son. God have given me to laugh. I'm sorry. And that all that I hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given child suck? For I have borne him a son in this old age. Sarah was again laughing, but this time we see a very happy mother who had waited many years to finally have a child. She had endured so much. Finally, she took her place as the mother of the children of promise. No longer were people laughing at her barrenness. Now they were enjoying her in the laughter of her joy. Jewish tradition interprets the 7th verse to mean that all the mothers of infants passed their children to Sarah, and she nursed everyone to proudly prove her maternal accomplishments and her ability. God had given Sarah this wonderful gift of the promised son, and she was so happy. She was bubbling over with laughter, and that is just how God works to fulfill his promise, his promises that he even makes to us. Usually does things in totally different ways than we expect, but he gives abundantly to us and he answers our prayers. It is, of course, a wonderful story in the Bible. God certainly kept his promise because Sarah became pregnant and gave birth exactly at the time he had ordained. It was now 25 years since God had called Abraham to leave his home. As God commanded, Abraham named his son Isaac and circumcised the boy the 8th day when he was 8 days old as a sign of the covenant. Isaac's name means laughter, and Sarah did laugh again, but this time it was evidence of her joy, not her disbelief. And Sarah declared, God has brought me to laugh. All who hear about this will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham and Sarah would nurse a baby, yet I have given Abraham a son at my old age? One can gather that the pain of all the years of her barrenness was nothing compared to the depth of Sarah's gratitude. when mercies have been long deferred, they are the most welcome when they come. And we can enjoy and rejoice with her, because if God would accomplish the impossible for her, he would accomplish the same for all who put their faith in him. Deferred promises are never denied promises. After finding out that Sarah was included in the promise, Abraham was still in a waiting position. The perfect opportunity for faith to grow. Were you in a waiting position? In the meantime, he is visited again by the Lord. So this is our lesson for tonight. I hope that you have gained some things from that. We're going to ask some questions. I'm going to open the lines to see if anyone would like to speak on the lesson for tonight. You don't have to talk, but you can give your input if you have something, if you see something in the lesson that I did not cover. And then I'm going to ask a couple of questions, as I normally do, after I go through the line. I'm going to start at the top of the nine with area code 609, last four digits, 9126. Are you on the line?
I am, Pastor. Hello, everyone.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
Yeah, I certainly love the lesson for tonight. It just seems that Sarah struggled with her unbelief because she got tired of waiting. And the way God restored her was by keeping his promise, and that also restored her faith in God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go to area code 919, last four digits, 1694.
Good evening, Pastor Rogers.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm on my way home from work, but I like to say thank God for the message. Thank God for the messenger. Beautiful lesson once again tonight, because how many times have we second-guessed and guessed, you know, on a situation or a matter? I mean, once again, they were thinking of their flesh, and so many times we think of our flesh, you know. I've been through and going through situations right now where it was hard to get out of the flesh, so, you know, and think about the spiritual aspects of who is the powerful God that I serve, that, you know, that he can make anything happen. And it's just a beautiful lesson to speak some confirmation to me, and I know if it's spoke something to me, it spoke something to somebody else. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I'll come back with a message or with a question in just a minute. Area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
How are you tonight?
Fine, and you?
Doing good.
I enjoyed the message. I invested on tonight, and it is what Sarah was going to, you know, the law was. Not only told us that in this lesson, he approved a lot of not come through the other.
Okay, I can't hear you right now, but can you repeat what you just said? All right. Maybe we dropped her. We'll come back for that. Sister Frances, is that you on the line?
Yes, it is, Pastor.
Let me ask you a question. When we're waiting on the Lord, now we've had a promise. You've had a promise. When you're waiting on the Lord, mm-hmm. what do you think you should be doing in the meantime?
Praying.
Yeah.
Praying,
yeah.
And keeping the faith.
Right, right, right. And I think that's probably – go right ahead. Go right ahead.
No, and I was saying that's sometimes a difficult thing to do. Like, you want it more expedient than, you know, God's plan. Like you said, it's always right on time. He may not come when you want, but he – he's always right on time, and that's sometimes the most difficult part is the waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we develop ourselves in Christ, we learn to wait on him because, like you said, he keeps his promise.
Amen.
It must always be the way we want it to come out.
Give me another example of a perfect opportunity for faith to grow.
Other than waiting on the Lord,
uh-huh.
having faith that he will do what he said he will do.
Yes.
Being patient is part of the waiting process.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
having faith in God that he will do what he says he will do.
Okay. Okay. All right. That's good. That's good. I'm going to ask the same question to Deacon Taylor. Deacon Taylor, give me another example of a perfect opportunity for faith to grow. Another example for perfect opportunity for faith to grow.
Working on your gifts, your talents.
Okay.
You've been blessed. Continue to bless other people. I mean, and somebody, not just your cousin or your, you know, bless a stranger. You know, bless them with. We don't have to be even materialistic. I mean, bless them with, you know, the word, or if somebody's going through something, and you can, and they would like to listen to you, and you already been through it. Bless them how you got over, how you overcame that situation. Praying, fasting. Several ways to expound on and expand on making that situation better while you're waiting on the Lord.
Right. Another thing that I wanted to bring up or to bring to pass, you know, Abraham and Sarah are not only the mother and father of nations, but they're also mother and father of three different religions, Judaism,
yes.
Islam, and Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
They all speak of Abraham. And I wonder, did God do that on purpose? He brought all
what?
Religions through one group of people. Go right ahead.
Well, that's very interesting, but I would like to bring up this past Easter, this Easter that we just observed. So
uh-huh.
This past Easter was the first time in like 50 years that Judaism, Islam, and Christianity observed the same holy day on the same day. And it won't happen again for like, I think they said like 80 more years from now. But at the same time, there was war in the Middle East going on. I was like, wow. But, yes, God had to plan it like that because even though Ishmael was not his, even knowing their background, Judaism, and Ishmael wasn't the chosen son, and he became the father of Islam, and, you know, they had faith. I mean, they had belief, but we have faith. But we know today, as you know, that they were the early Christians, and, you know, and they became the father. He became the father of nations, which brought through the root of Jesse, which is Jesus Christ, which is Christianity. Those three religions came through Abraham, and yes, God had a perfect design and plan that we can't even explain it, can't understand it, but it is.
Amen. Thank you. Deaconess Rainey, are you on the line still?
Yes, I am.
Okay, let me ask you a question. If God already knew that Sarah was part of the promise, why didn't he speak to her? Why do you think he didn't speak to her?
If he knew, what? Can you repeat it, Pastor?
If God knew that Sarah was part of the promise, why do you think he didn't speak to her? Or why didn't Abraham speak to her about it?
I don't know.
Could it be that Abraham didn't quite believe it? Didn't want to get her hopes up. Or could it have been that? Or could it have been that maybe he just thought it was something that he should have kept to himself? But anyway, I was just wondering why Abraham did not speak to Sarah about the promise that God made. God had to tell her about it instead of Abraham. And I was just wondering why that was, because so many times in the Bible, we see women take the second role, because when we consider Sarah, Abraham's wife, she's often used as a model of feminine submission, because she used to call Abraham her husband Lord. All we can learn from her, she was a very submissive woman. She was a woman who was obedient. Now, I don't know if the word obedient is right, but she was a woman who was with her husband. She did what her husband asked her to do, and she was happy in the second seat of, with Abraham, instead of being right beside him. So eventually, when God made the promise to Abraham, it elevated him. So now he makes a promise to Sarah, which elevates her. Let me ask you another question before you go. How do you think people thought about Sarah after she had a baby? What do you think they said about her?
I guess they sort of looked up to her because she was one that was used by God in a special way. So I guess they sort of looked up to her about being the chosen one and being, you know, female, like you were saying about the males and the females. So I guess that they sort of looked up to her.
In a way, this is sort of like the promise of Jesus. I'm not trying to compare the two together. I'm just simply saying that, you know, a virgin was promised a son who had never been with a man. And here's a woman who's 90 is being promised a son who no one thought could even bear a child. So in a way, these two births are miraculous. And it just goes to show that God has the last say-so in nature. In nature. I mean, what we think in nature can't happen, he can do it. And I think that one of the things that this lesson teaches us is that, you know, God has control over nature. He has control over the rigors of nature, and he has control over the limits of nature. Because every doctor will tell you that a woman 90 can't have a child. Every scientist will tell you that. Every lab technician will tell you that. But yet God can go beyond all of them and bring forth a son from a woman at 90 years old. Anyone else have anything else they'd like to add? Anyone else have anything they'd like to add to the message or to the lesson tonight? If you can, go right ahead. Well, I thank all of you for being online. I thank you to for this. Now, this is the second covenant that we have talked about. Last week, we talked about the covenant that God made with Noah and the earth and with the rainbow as a covenant that it would not drown the earth again. This covenant is with a man, Abraham. There were several covenants, but this is the second covenant that God has made, and this is with Abraham to be the father of great nations. And he would do that through him and his wife, Sarah, who would have a son named Isaac, who would have a son named Jacob, and his 12 sons would then be the names of the tribes of all of Israel. And this is how God planned it. This is how God worked it. This is how God wanted it to be. And he could have taken anyone. He could have taken any two people and done the same thing. But because of who Abraham was, and the relationship that God had with Abraham and Abraham had with God, because God told Abraham to leave his father's house and go to a land that he would show him, because of Abraham's obedience to God, God rewarded him to be the man who would be the father of many nations. Deacon Taylor, can you give us a prayer tonight?
Heavenly Father, we come to you as humble as we know how, giving you the thanks and praise that only you deserve. Father, we thank you for designing Abraham to be the father of many nations. Lord, we thank you for the nations and generations that came down through Abraham and his belief. Lord, we thank you for what we know is our faith today, Father. Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to give us that chance at life, Lord, at that chance to be free of all of our sins, Lord. We want to thank you right now, Father, for this lesson tonight, Father. We ask that it touch hearts and minds tonight and in the future for those who look at it a little bit later on, Lord. But we want to thank you right now for the servant that brought the word. Lord, we thank you for each and every heart and mind that thought of not robbery to join in tonight, Father, and partake of this lesson and apply it to their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank all of you for being online tonight. Don't forget Sunday is Mother's Day, and then the next Sunday is Pastor's Anniversary. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. So we thank all of you for being on the line. Thank all of you who will hear this Bible study long after it's been recorded. God bless you tonight, and have a great, great day. God bless you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.